Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. I'm glad you're here, and you're going to be glad you're here because you're going to be, I'm going to introduce you to a new friend. He's an independent community banker, ladies and gentlemen. How many times over the last 11 plus years have you heard me talking about how important small independent community banks are to the health of small business America? And he's one of those guys. He's the CEO of Park Avenue Bank. Right there in the heart of New York City. That's right. There are actually are little banks in New York City. And he's here to talk to us about what's going on these days in the life of an independent community bank, especially with regard to all the government involvement and influence in the banking industry. His name is Charles Antonucci. He's the CEO of Park Avenue Bank. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tim.
It's good to have you here. The Chinese have a saying, may you live in interesting times. Actually, it's a curse. They call it a curse. May you live in interesting times. The banking industry has been living that curse for a year or so, haven't they?
Yeah, it certainly has been interesting. We'll put it that way.
Now, your bank is an independent community bank. My audience knows very much about independent community banks. Tell us the size of your bank.
My bank right now is a little over $500 million in assets.
In essence, all right, and it's been around for 20-something years?
Yes.
And you've been involved with the company for a handful of years, right?
We bought it 2004, yes.
Right. So now, one of the ways that you came to my attention is something that I saw where your bank rejected or withdrew, I should say, right, your request for TARP money. Now, how did an independent community bank, number one, come to need TARP money? Number two, how did you wind up being able to have access to TARP money?
Well,
and by the way, before we go, remind the audience what TARP means.
TARP is the Treasury Assistance Program for the Treasury Relief Program for the for funds to help you with capital for your bank.
And it stands for Troubled Asset Recovery Program.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, what happened in the fall of this year, the fall of 2008, when the program was announced, I guess it was actually late summer, early fall.
Right.
The government basically encouraged banks to apply for the funds, for the relief funds, because of that, what happened? There was a perception in the market that if you didn't apply, that your bank was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of the reverse of what occurred.
Because you didn't want to invite the scrutiny. Was that why?
No, I just think the perception was if you didn't qualify for this relief money, that it was already a foregone
too late
conclusion that you were in too much trouble,
yeah,
to begin with.
Oh, okay.
So everybody was encouraged to apply. We were weary of it from the beginning because, anytime you get involved with a government organization or the government,
right,
the rules are different. So one of the concerns we had is nobody really knew the rules, and they didn't even know what the rules were when they came out with the program.
Mm-hmm.
So as it evolved, it became apparent that, you know, there were going to be a lot of strings attached to this money. And secondly, you know, the rules could change at any time after you got the money. It was like borrowing money, and then after you borrowed the money, they changed the interest rate on you or changed the loan terms on you. So, you know, we just didn't feel, well, the board didn't feel that we wanted to live under those conditions, and personally, I didn't want any assistance from the government to begin with.
Some banks have said that they were forced to take money. Some of the bigger banks.
Again, it was the perception that if you didn't take the money, that you're going to end up on this bad bank list.
Right.
And in our business, public perception is worse than, you know,
it's
reality.
Everything. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you signed up for the money because of that level of intimidation. Kind of, it's basically an intimidation level. And then, as you found out, as we now know, it's a very convoluted process that's like a tar baby you don't want to get stuck to. And you guys said we decided we want out.
Right.
And so you never took any money.
No, we didn't.
And are you going to be able to unplug from the system?
Sure.
So you can now, after a few months, you can now say, I don't want any without fear of a bad impression.
Well, actually, now the impression is just the opposite. If you take the TARP money now, they consider you to be a troubled bank. So you don't want it even if they offered it to you.
So it turns out you're the smartest banker in America.
Stand by.
We're going to be right back with Charles Antonucci right after these messages. He's an independent community banker, ladies and gentlemen, one of our heroes. 22, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. You can find my blog there. You can find my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, there. You can find my newsletter there. I hope you'll check it out. You can see a sample there, by the way, and we'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And it's free, just like everything else. We've got thousands of past interviews with our experts, our Brain Trust members. We've got thousands of articles that I've written or that my Brain Trust members have written. Lots and lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something that will help you with your small business. One of the things that I've been doing now, folks, for a long time is extolling the virtues and the benefits and the advantages of doing business with an independent community bank. I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it weren't for independent community banks, for a particular one, but there are thousands of them around the country, 6,000 or 7,000 independent community banks, and they are the heartbeat of Main Street America, and they are the key to the success of every small business that I know. And we've got one of them with us, an independent community banker. Charles Antonucci is the CEO of Park Avenue Bank, right there in downtown. Actually, was that Midtown Manhattan?
Midtown Manhattan.
Midtown Manhattan is where you guys are, aren't you? Charles Bank is a $500 million bank. That may sound like a lot of money. As banks go, that's tiny, isn't it, Charles?
Yeah, it's very tiny in terms of particularly New York City.
Yeah, exactly. Here's something that... I want to read from Secretary Geithner's proposal he's going to be announcing this week with regard to how he's going to deal with banks. There's going to be an enhanced role for the Federal Reserve to monitor and address broad economic risks. He's going to change the way banks are overseen to prevent lenders from shopping among regulators. There's going to be more transparency, stricter rules about the way money flows between banks. Tougher capital requirements for big banks, which would not be you, but it would be your upstream bank that you do business with.
Yes.
Consolidation of consumer protection enforcement. Now, you've probably seen this list, Charles. What does that mean to your independent community banks? What does that mean to your customers?
Well, it doesn't mean... I don't feel that it means a whole lot to me, a bank at my size. The capital issue, affects all of us. I mean, we're all going to have to raise cost of capital. Basically what they're trying to avoid, what happens is your small banks, large banks, if they don't like, their particular charter, they'll move their charter from a national to a state or to... to a federal, so there's a lot of that goes on. But at our level, it doesn't really mean a lot, I don't think.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that, because I don't like anything that, the big banks can take care of themselves, but I don't like anything that hurts an independent community bank.
I don't know if the big banks can take care of themselves.
Well, you may be right. But let me put it this way. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm going to worry about independent banks. I'm going to let the big guys take care of themselves. What about... As far as the subprime mortgages, did you have any of those?
Absolutely not.
See, that's now. See, this is the other thing, Charles. My independent community banker told me he had none of those, he wasn't involved with them in any way, fashion, or form. The American public has, if they don't listen to my show, and maybe a few other interviews. Right. We talk about it all the time on this show. If they don't listen to this show, they miss the fact that 6,000 plus banks in America are solid and ready to go to work and really always have been. I mean, you've never stopped lending to small business owners, have you?
No, I have not. I've actually been lending more to small business owners in the last 12 months than we ever have.
Yeah.
Because the larger banks are gone. So the only people that can lend to them or have the ability to lend to them are us.
So this is actually the independent community banks are kind of the phoenix rising out of the banking ashes, aren't they?
Absolutely. You have the super giants who can't get out of their own way, and you got the small banks that are filling the void.
What do you think the banking industry is going to look like 2 years from now?
2 years from now, I don't think it's going to look a whole lot different. I think some of the smaller banks are going to combine and become a little larger. For example,
there's going to be consolidation. You think is that right?
Yeah, I think that there's some of us are going to combine because what's happening is, you know, because I'm in New York City, so it's a little different market, but a $500 million bank in New York City isn't going to make much of a dent. But if I become a $1 billion, $2 billion bank, you know, I can have an impact.
Right. But at what point, though, Charles, this is what worries me about what you just said.
Right.
At what point does that consolidation wind up making relationships harder with small businesses?
Right about there. You get to $2 billion, it gets very difficult.
Below $2 billion, it's difficult, and that's what I'm worried about. Every time I see an independent community bank being born, a brand new one, it's almost like a new baby's being born to me.
Right. Well, you got to remember something. What happens is many of us, you know, when we get to that size or get a little larger than size, usually sell,
yep.
And then we start it again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hundreds of us that have. I mean, I've done it three times.
Right.
So you know, and what I sell is good old fashioned American banking.
Right.
You call the president of the bank if you have a problem.
Right.
And you know, you get to a size. You're absolutely right. If I get to be $2 billion in assets, it gets
you don't know
hard
me
to take all those calls.
you don't know me. You're not going to take my calls, are you, Charles?
Oh, I'll always take your calls.
Hey, Charles, hold on just a second. We'll take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back. I got a couple more questions for Mr. Antonucci, the CEO of Park Avenue Bank, right there in New York City. It's an independent community bank. And, folks, right there in Midtown Manhattan, he's doing business with Main Street small business owners, just like in Peoria, just like in Sheboygan, just like in Dime Box, Texas. Tintel, stay with us.
When I die in the name of Torres, gonna go to the place.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. We're visiting with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Charles Antonucci. He's CEO and president of Park Avenue Bank, independent community bank there in Midtown Manhattan. And if all of my friends listening in the New York City area, go by and give his bank a chance to do some business with you. Charles, how many branches do you have?
We have four branches.
Four branches. And where are they?
Three are in Brooklyn, New York, and one is right in Manhattan.
Okay.
Boston, main office.
So your headquarters is in Manhattan, and that's great. What about a website?
We do have a website. It's parkavenuebank.com.
All right, so check that out. Charles, I want to read something to you here. This is a quote, a direct quote from the new budget that the administration is going to be introducing. And I want you to listen to this and tell me what you think. While middle-class families have been playing by the rules, living up to their responsibilities as neighbors and citizens, those at the commanding heights of our economy have not. Now, you're the president and one of the owners of a $500 million independent community bank. I'm going to say that you are one of those people at the commanding heights in terms of income. I'm going to make that presumption. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Charles, have you not been playing by the rules?
Well, I've definitely been playing by the rules. I'm not sure if how high up the chain I am comparatively, but I've definitely been playing by the rules.
Well, according to this blanket statement by the administration, you haven't been.
Well, you know what? I think let's make one other distinction. When you talk about banks, there are Main Street banks and there are Wall Street banks.
Right.
I'm a Main Street bank. Okay. I believe that the issues that they're talking about, and when they talk about banks and those who are not playing by the rules, they're talking about the Wall Street banks.
Well, but see, this particular quote is not about your bank. It's about Charles and Jim and Sue and Jane.
I don't. Well, first of all, I don't agree with it. We definitely play by the rules, and it's most of us at the level, if you want to call the heights or the command heights or whatever you want to call it. We're the small business owners.
That's right.
We're the guys that drive the economy.
And took all the risks.
We take the risks, and
you bought this bank in 2004.
Rewards.
You bought this bank in 2004. You could have lost everything in this venture.
Absolutely. I'm the largest shareholder of the bank, and I also, instead of taking government money, put an additional $20 million of my own money in the bank.
You've reinvested. In response to not taking the TARP money, you announced that you were putting your own money back into your bank.
Yes, I am.
You invested. Now, see, that's the kind of... But now, wait a minute, Charles. You just put that money at risk because it's in the marketplace now.
Well, you know what? It's better at risk in a business that I can control and then giving it to a large investment house or
right.
a large bank where I could lose it all.
But don't you believe that kind of language coming out of our administration, printed in a document that everybody could read, don't you think that that's the opposite of the kind of language that America needs to go forward?
Absolutely. I think it's just the opposite of what it,
this language offends.
I saw that I was furious.
It offends me, Charles.
It offends me as well.
Yeah.
And to be called a banker in the sense of, the bad guys today offends me as well.
Right. I agree. Charles, what's talk to us. I got about a minute left. Talk to us about what you think about the economy for small business owners over the next year or two or three.
Well, it's going to be tough. But the nice thing about small business owners, we can reinvent ourselves. You can turn a lot faster than a large corporation can turn. So, you need to hunker down. You'll survive this. We've survived it before. And you got to just be creative. You just got to be creative and work with your banker. I mean, we're talking about working with your banker every day now. I have customers come in to see me that are in a tough spot, and we're working with them. If you know about it up front, we can help you.
What I've told my audience is that you've got to keep your banker informed, because a banker who's not informed is a scared banker, and nobody ever got any help out of a scared banker.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of times they don't come. They're afraid to come to you. When they do to you, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you make the call to your banker first, folks, because if they have to make the call to you, then the jig's up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Charles, thank you for being here. And congratulations on what you're doing for small business owners in the New York City area there. I'm proud of you and your bank.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, Charles Antonucci, ladies and gentlemen. He's the leading shareholder and the president of Park Avenue Bank, an independent community bank in New York City. He says there are about 200 of them there. Isn't that a great story? Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and independent community banks. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.